It's Patrick Hutzel from intensivecarehotline.com, where we instantly improve the lives for families of critically ill patients in intensive care so that you can make informed decisions, have peace of mind, real power, real control, and so that you can influence decision-making fast, even if you're not a doctor or a nurse in intensive care. This is another episode of Your Questions Answered. And in last week's episode, I answered another question from one of our dear readers. And the question last week was, my mother wants to go home on a BiPAP machine from intensive care. Can she survive? You can check out last week's questions by clicking on the link below this video. In this week's episode of Your Questions Answered, I want to answer another one of our most frequently asked questions from our readers. And the question this week is, how long does it take to come off a ventilator or respirator in intensive care? Now, if your loved one has just been admitted to intensive care for critical illness, chances are that you and your family feel challenged, out of your comfort zone, fearful, frightened, vulnerable, stressed, and you feel like you are overwhelmed. Furthermore, you most likely feel like other people are running the show and you feel like you have no or very little control in this situation. You are also looking for answers, and some of your questions may have already been answered by the intensive care team. However, you may also feel like not all of your questions are welcome, as the intensive care team often also speaks in medical terms and in medical jargon that is difficult to understand for you and your family. One of the biggest challenges for families in intensive care is that you simply don't know what you don't know. Furthermore, the next biggest challenge in this situation is that you don't know what questions you need to ask in the first place. The quality of your questions and your ability to manage doctors and nurses in intensive care will clearly determine the outcomes you will be getting. Therefore, you will need to make sure you are asking the right questions in the first place, and I can help you with this after having worked in intensive care for nearly 20 years in three different countries, where I literally looked after thousands of critically ill patients and their families. I have also worked as a nurse unit manager in intensive care for over 5 years. So here is what's important. Your critically ill loved one is probably ventilated with a breathing tube, also known as an endotracheal tube, in their throat and in an induced coma. You are probably shocked by how your critically ill loved one looks with the ventilator and the breathing tube attached to them. You probably also feel intimidated by the intensive care doctors and intensive care nurses and by all the equipment and technology in intensive care. Nevertheless, you and your family are wondering how long it will take for your critically ill loved one to recover, and you are wondering how long will it take for your critically ill loved one to come off the ventilator. Okay, in order to give you an answer to this question, we have to break it down into some segments because the length of a time for your loved one on a ventilator is dependent on a number of things that I will explain here. So I will give you some quick examples now so that you understand in which criteria your loved one will fit in. So the first criteria is quote unquote straightforward and quote unquote soft admissions to intensive care. If your critically ill loved one is a quote unquote straightforward admission to intensive care after elective or planned surgery, or is a quote unquote soft admission to intensive care for a medical emergency on a ward, etc., your critically ill loved one should come off the ventilator and out of the induced coma relatively quickly within 12 to 72 hours. Ventilation and the breathing tube after surgery are sometimes stabilizing and prophylactic measures, and are also measures to make sure that your loved one isn't bleeding before the intensive care team takes them off the ventilator, which is especially important after big surgery. The same applies to other quote-unquote more soft admissions into intensive care after your loved one may have had some breathing issues. They may have required the ventilator and the breathing tube for a little while to improve your loved one's lungs and breathing with some extra pressure and oxygen. No big deal, the induced coma, the breathing tube or endotracheal tube and the ventilator should be gone within, again, 12 to 72 hours. It all depends on whether your loved one's chest x-ray is clear, whether they can breathe for themselves with minimal support from the ventilator or a respirator. That's also known as CPAP or pressure support ventilation mode. They will need to be able to cough and clear their secretions and airway. Their arterial blood gases need to be satisfactory, and they will also need to be able to follow instructions such as squeezing hands, poke out their tongue, etc. Let's look at the next segment, number 2, if your loved one is ventilated for 3 to 7 days. If your critically ill loved one is a more complicated admission to intensive care and is more unstable, such as after a car accident or after major surgery where complications occurred, or if your critically ill loved one sustained a head or a brain injury, had a heart attack or a cardiac arrest, or other conditions such as ARDS, then the breathing tube and the ventilator and the induced coma might be required for more than 72 hours. And if your loved one is stable and progressing, breathing up on the ventilator and respirator with the support from the ventilator and respirator being reduced, then again, your critically ill loved one should be able to come off the ventilator and respirator soon. Again, coming off the ventilator after more than 72 hours of ventilation and induced coma might be a little bit more difficult because, as a rule of thumb, the longer ventilation is required, the higher risk that complications or delays occur. So once again, if your loved one is stable and has shown strength to breathe by themselves, there should be no reason that they can't be taken off the ventilator after 3 to 7 days, generally speaking. The same applies then in our first segment, that basically it depends on whether your loved one's chest x-ray is clear, whether they can breathe for themselves with minimal support from the ventilator, which is also known as CPAP or pressure support, and they will need to be able to cough, clear their secretions and airway. The arterial blood gases need to be satisfactory, and they will also need to be able to follow instructions, such as squeezing hands, poke out their tongues, just like I explained before. So then, let's look at our third segment, which is if your loved one is ventilated for more than 7 days. If your critically ill loved one has been in intensive care for more than 1 week or 7 days now and has been ventilated for more than a week by now and is still in the induced coma and ventilated, you're probably wondering, and you are more importantly worried, when your loved one will finally come off the ventilator. Now, I know a week might feel like an eternity to you and it feels like a nightmare. Bear in mind, though, a week in intensive care may not necessarily be a long time, right? There are many long stayers in intensive care, and a week is not a long stay. Now, if after 1 week of ventilation and an induced coma, the intensive care team still doesn't feel confident to take out the breathing tube, they may suggest to insert a tracheostomy or a trach. Before they actually suggest a tracheostomy, they should try and get your loved one out of the induced coma. And if your loved one is waking up and is cooperative and can breathe, the intensive care team should remove the breathing tube and give your critically ill loved one a quote-unquote fair go first to find out whether your loved one can breathe without a breathing tube and without the ventilator or a respirator. If that fails, then the intensive care team might have a fair point to suggest a tracheostomy or a trach. But once again, that shouldn't be brought up before at least 7 to 10 days of ventilation with a breathing tube. And again, it shouldn't be done until the intensive care team is certain there is no other alternative. Furthermore, especially when it comes to tracheostomy in the United States, the risk that once a tracheostomy is performed, that the ICU wants to send your loved one to long-term acute care, also known as LTAC, is quite significant. This strikes a disaster, as LTACs are designed to save money but not to provide quality care for critically ill patients that are dependent on ventilation. If LTAC or long-term acute care is mentioned as an option for your loved one after or before they have a tracheostomy or a trach, your alarm bells need to go off and you will need to avoid LTAC at any cost. I can't tell you how many desperate families we have calling every week who want us to help them to get their loved ones out of LTAC. We can help them achieve that with our one-on-one consulting and advocacy service. However, more importantly, we can help you make a clinical argument to keep your critically ill loved one in the right environment in the first place, which is intensive care. So, the only place where a patient can be safely looked after on a ventilator with tracheostomy or with a breathing tube or endotracheal tube is intensive care. Let me repeat this once again, because if you are not clear on this, it could literally cost the life of your loved one. The only alternative for patients on ventilation with tracheostomy is intensive care units in a hospital, or the other alternative is intensive care at home services. Why? I'm really glad you've asked. Because anybody on a ventilator needs the skills and expertise of a critical care nurse, a critical care doctor, etc. Anything less than that is literally killing patients. Let me say this again one more time, because if you're not clear on what is clinically required for your loved one on a ventilator with tracheostomy, it could literally kill your critically ill loved one, because LTAC simply don't have the skills, expertise, and professionalism to look after a critically ill patient on a ventilator with tracheostomy. Again, the only place where a patient can be safely looked after on a ventilator with tracheostomy or with a breathing tube is intensive care. Let me repeat this again, because if you are not clear on this, it could literally cost the life of your loved one. The only alternative for patients on ventilation with tracheostomy is a service like intensive care at home, where basically intensive care nurses come to your home and look after your loved one on a ventilator. So next, once your loved one has a tracheostomy, we should be looking at the next example, number 4, if your loved one already has a tracheostomy and is in intensive care. So if your critically ill loved one is having a tracheostomy because they went through one or multiple failed extubations, which is basically the removal of the breathing tube in the mouth, and they were unable to breathe without the ventilator and respirator support. Furthermore, your critically ill loved one may also require to stay in intensive care for a prolonged period of time with ventilator support due to their critical illness. The advantage your critically ill loved one is having now is that they should be able to be brought out of the induced coma, and they should be able to wake up and hopefully communicate, at least non-verbally. Because a tracheostomy doesn't give your loved one the ability to talk, but it frees up the mouth so they can at least try and mouth some words. Keep in mind that with ventilation through the breathing tube in the mouth, an induced coma would have been necessary, whereas a tracheostomy can usually be tolerated without the induced coma, and that's really positive. One of the first things that your loved one can do, or that we can do with your loved one, is take them out of the induced coma once the tracheostomy has been done. A tracheostomy, generally speaking, also brings the advantage of getting your critically ill loved one off the ventilator quicker by trying to breathe without the ventilator just via an oxygen mask with humidified oxygen via the tracheostomy. This is also known as a trachea hood or a trachea shield or a trachea collar. The goal here is to increase the frequency your loved one can stay off the ventilator or respirator. Initially, this might be a bit of a struggle. It could be 2 hours in the beginning on the ventilator, 2 hours off the ventilator. But as soon as your loved one can stay off the ventilator for more than 24 hours, they should, in most instances, be able to leave intensive care even with the tracheostomy still in place. However, many patients also can have that tracheostomy removed in intensive care before going to a hospital ward, and that should definitely be the goal. So then the next question is, how long does it take to wean ventilation and the tracheostomy? The answer is that it depends. It can range from a few days to a few weeks and sometimes even a few months. And if you are finding that your loved one is stuck on a ventilator with tracheostomy and is not moving forward, you have a few alternatives and options to consider. Number one, I have written another article and I have made another video about this topic in depth. The name of the article and video is Tracheostomy and Weaning off the Ventilator in Intensive Care, How Long Can It Take? So you should definitely look at that, and you can look at that article just by clicking on the link below this video. Scroll down below this video to the written version of this blog and click on the link to the article that I put in the blog. If you are watching this on YouTube, click on the link below this video. That'll get you to our website where you have access to that article, Tracheostomy and Weaning off the Ventilator in Intensive Care, How Long Can It Take? Next, you can also look for alternatives such as intensive home care services that provide a genuine alternative to a long-term stay in intensive care for long-term ventilated adults and children with tracheostomies. Again, have a look for more information at intensivecareathome.com. And last but not least, another strategy in a situation like that is really to put pressure on the intensive care team and demand more and don't take no for an answer. How do you do that? Well, I'm really glad you've asked, because the question really is, how can you become the best advocate for your critically ill loved one? How can you make informed decisions, get peace of mind, control, power, and influence quickly whilst your loved one is critically ill in intensive care? You will get to that all-important feeling of making informed decisions, get peace of mind, control, power, and influence when you download your free Instant Impact Report now by entering your email below. In your free Instant Impact Report, you will learn quickly how to make informed decisions, get peace of mind, real power, and real control, and how you can influence decision-making fast whilst your loved one is critically ill in intensive care. Your free Instant Impact Report gives you in-depth insight that you must know whilst your loved one is critically ill or is even dying in intensive care. Sign up and download your free Instant Impact Report now by entering your email below. In your free Instant Impact Report, you will learn how to speak the secret intensive care language so that the doctors and the nurses know straight away that you are an insider and that you know and understand what's really happening in intensive care. In your free report, you will also discover how to ask the doctors and the nurses the right questions. Discover the many competing interests in intensive care and how your critically ill loved one's treatment may depend on those competing interests. How to eliminate fear, frustration, stress, struggle, and vulnerability even if your loved one is dying. You will get 5 mind-blowing tips and strategies helping you to get on the right path to making informed decisions, get peace of mind, control, power, and influence in your situation. You will get real-world examples that you can easily adapt to your and your critically ill loved one's situation. How to stop being intimidated by the intensive care team and how you will be seen as equals. You will get crucial behind-the-scenes insight so that you know and understand what's really happening in intensive care and how you need to manage doctors and nurses in intensive care, and it's not what you think. Thank you for tuning into this week's Your Questions Answered episode, and I'll see you again next week in another update. Make sure you also have a look at our blog section for more tips and strategies, or simply send me an email to support@intensivecarehotline.com with your questions. Also, have a look at our membership site, intensivecaresupport.org, for families of critically ill patients in intensive care. You can also call me, find international phone numbers on our contacts tab. Also, have a look at our ebook section, where you get more ebooks, videos, and audio recordings, and where you can also get one-on-one consulting and advocacy with me over the phone, via email, and via Skype by clicking on the relevant tabs on the top of the website. This is Patrick Hutzel from intensivecarehotline.com, and I'll see you again next week in another update.